Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me this morning to encourage you is John Ramos.
Hello.
Good morning, good morning. Also joining us this morning in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I love that.
Be strong and courageous. The Lord thy God, your God, is able to defeat the strategies of the plans of the enemy. No plan can succeed against the wisdom of God. Some men trust in horses, but we trust in God. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, John. Also joining us this morning is Chris and Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. My goodness, man, the first hour is just filled with what we're sensing in our spirit and what's taking place and how so many people are hearing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it doesn't take, you know, it's like a guy standing in the road and it's like a car barreling at him, you know, 55 miles an hour, mm-hmm. 100 miles an hour. And he goes, I think the Lord would say I'm about to be hit in the face with a car at 70 miles an hour. I mean, some things are easy.
Well, that actually almost happened yesterday.
Did it? What happened?
I didn't mention to you earlier that speaking of barreling down the road, I had a chance to visit VFM Bronx yesterday and was with Eddie and Maria. I had such a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Maria. But, I thought that, you know, Greg, you know, I like the way he drives. You know, I tell you what.
You should have seen my father. I got to tell you about that.
I don't know. I got somebody here that'll give you a challenge. I got in the car with Eddie, and I wasn't sure if I was riding in a car or in a roller coaster. They say, what's wrong with you? I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying. He's driving in New York on the George Washington Bridge, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the dark, you know, the bridge has two levels. You have the top level, okay? Then you have the bottom level. You actually feel like you're in a
You have three levels. The other level is the water underneath the bridge.
Yeah, hello. And he's just going in and out. I said, Eddie. I know he's listening today.
He's been driving that. He could probably drive that bridge blindfolded because he's been driving that bridge for years, man.
For years, he knows how to turn them corners, man, on a dime. But that's a wonderful, wonderful time there. Really enjoyed myself.
That's so cool. Give a shout out to Eddie this morning. Can't wait to hear some feedback about the insanity, man.
Oh no, I saw him yesterday. I don't know how much insanity is going on. I don't know. I saw some, you know, and that pizza he got, you know.
Oh, listen, bring the word up. Oh my goodness, pizza sounds good. Actually, New York pizza. If you get a chance, you know, while America stands, you got to get some pizza from New York. Oh, it's so good. Speaking of driving, my mother had purchased a hutch type thing. My mother, she does all this painting and porcelain, this beautiful stuff that
beautiful.
She does.
Very nice.
And just hand paints all this great stuff. And she got this hutch, you know, tall 6 foot type cabinet. But I thought it was like 6 foot by 6 foot by 3 foot. When it's being described to me, I'm thinking, like, how am I going to pick this thing up? It's huge. And long story short, you know, Pat volunteers to come out there and to help me out. And we go there and pick my father up. And, you know, so Pat, Dad and I got a chance to go meet these wonderful people, you know, mm-hmm. and help them get this hutch. It was a beautiful house set back
yeah,
off
really
the road
nice.
And and I'm driving like Eddie drive. Eddie, I understand, man. Totally understand. Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm pulling out. Their driveway was about 40 miles long. I mean, it was forever weaving in and out or something. No, the road. I was coming out on the road. I was coming out there. The road was all wavy. Remember how the road kind of waved? Well, I was driving straight while the road was waving.
The road was moving.
Yeah, I refused to wave. No. And so I'm talking. We were talking about something. And I'm talking to Dad. And Dad's in the front seat of the truck, you know. And it has a front seat and a back seat. And I don't know. I look at Dad's face, you know, because I wasn't looking ahead.
That's usually how it goes when you're driving.
And it kind of went boom, 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 boom. And so I knew this was like, I said, that's like an ultrasound, you know, kind of letting us know something's happening. So then I turned around like, oh my goodness, there's a huge curve over there in a cliff. Yeah. And so it was so funny, right? I was like, it's like an ultrasound. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
That's the ultrasound on the bottom. But do you remember the other ultrasound that you hit when you happened to be in the mining truck? Do you remember that? Pat, did you ever hear that story?
The brand new truck? Yeah. When you got your brand new truck?
My brand new truck. I didn't
God
even
gave
my
you that
brand
truck.
Truck.
Yeah. God gave you that truck.
Didn't he clobber something with your truck?
Well, actually, what it was.
Big, huge orange cones.
Let me tell you what happened. What happened was, you know, John had this car. And the,
is that what that was?
Yeah.
Wait, see, we started talking about a truck. We have to appreciate the truck,
how the truck came about.
The story's not about the truck. It's not about you hitting this orange wall. That.
Well, I'm trying to move from the clack, clack to the plump. You know? So anyway, so John gets this truck. God gives him this truck. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, you know? And so he wants to show me the truck. And so he brings it to me to show it to me. And of course, when I got in the truck, well, actually, I had to drive it because if I got in the passenger side of the truck, I couldn't fit because my knees would be under my chin because he has to pull the seat so far up by the steering wheel to drive. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to have to drive this thing, you know, because my knees cannot be in my chin right here. You know, I'm not saying anything.
You believe this, Pat? You believe this?
Yeah.
You know, come on now. So he sat in the passenger seat. I slid the telephone book off the seat and put it down. And I slid the seat back. But even the seat sliding back, it still was a smaller truck. Yeah, so, you know, I got in there. I'm just so bulked up from working out. You know, it was kind of tough to get up in there.
Yeah, right.
Lifting hot wings. And anyway, I get in there and I'm riding down a particular road and I'm like, man, this is a nice truck, you know? And John's just glowing because God just blessed him and all that. And they had these construction cones down the center of the road.
The big barrels or the like the little ones?
Yeah, you know, these are pretty huge. The truck, you know.
No, danger, danger. There's a cone here. You know?
It was a little people's truck. So I was like some giant in this thing. No, and so these cones look really like mountains when we're passing them.
Right.
And they seem really big, but I don't know what had happened. It's like an angel just pushed us over. And it's like, boom, 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 boom. Which is like, I don't know, maybe about 3 or 4 of these cones. I look back at John's forehead was all wrinkled up. And he's thinking, it's my brand new truck.
Trashed it.
You know, I always personally felt, you know, if you get something so nice, you know, the first thing you do is you need to scratch it and get
it over
with. Just mess it up. You know, because it's like, you know, you're going to be worried about it.
Well, you surely helped me with that. You took care of that. You took care of the scratches.
It was a white truck, but it had like a fiery orange pattern on the side of it. No. And I don't know how that happened. I have no idea how that happened, but it was very, very interesting. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org. You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back on what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then.
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? I need that app too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
I did too, but yeah. I need it. But
well, what there is an app for, though, there's an app for the VFN TV daily radio program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes, type in VFN TV, and download it on your phone for free. You got all the daily live radio content. You've got all the radio feeds, everything we're talking about. You got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com. You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out VFNfamily.org.
Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more. Mm-hmm. You know, the VFN radio program, they love the 24-hour loop. But did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat, John, and Chris. Here we are. You know, we were just talking about John's driving, and, you know, we want to be able to move, you know, beyond that. I always said, you know, that, I was driving my motorcycle, riding my motorcycle. I had a chance to ride it, you know, pulled it out of the mothballs fleet, and, listening to a prophetic word from Perry Stone. By the way, if you get a chance, go to Perry Stone's ministry and listen to. He's hearing pretty clearly, you know, I believe, about his on the empire, you know, the American empire. And I'm on my motorcycle and I'm going north. You know, going through all these different things, these different communities, and all heading north and just enjoying listening to hours of, it's a perfect time to be able to listen to things and just put in your earphones, put on your helmet, and just enjoy the weather. It was beautiful weather, you know, in the area. But then I'm like way up in Alabama, Flemington or something, you know, I stopped for some diet church's chicken. And so I'm exploring areas that I haven't explored before. I'm like in this Perry Stone zone, which means pay attention. He's talking faster than I'm riding my bike.
Yeah.
And I'm listening going, oh my goodness, no, you know, listening to Perry. And so I was, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to explore this particular area or something. And I'm like in the middle of nowhere. Nowhere. I mean, just nowhere. I mean, I made sure my gas was up and all that was ready to go. And, and so I've had a full tank of gas and all. And all of a sudden, my bike just started doing crazy things. It's like, I'm going to work. I'm not going to work.
Oh, no.
I'm going to work. I'm not going to work. Oh, and then it started slowing down.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it's like I just kind of slowed right between two crack dealers. I'm like, no, there's 10 billion people in the world, and my bike is going to stop right here where these guys are, you know, selling drugs.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, this is amazing. Looks like I got a new ministry about to start. You know, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm like miles and miles away. The thing about a bike, you know, you don't just like pull it off on the side road and lock it up and go somewhere. I mean, you got to stay with your bike. And
you ran out of gas?
And I used all my cell phone juice up for Perry. No, I had gas.
No cell phone.
Yeah. So, you know, it's Perry's last, like, fading in and out, you know. I'm thinking, wow, this is, you know, a good thing about drug dealers, they all have phones.
What was a pack extension?
They all
battery.
Have cell phones, right. So, you know, I just kind of easily do my little turnaround, but it's sort of like a, you know, somebody trying to learn how to drive a shift. The bike is just like, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's stopping and going and it's choking. And it's like, what is up with this bike? And, of course, I got a helmet on, so they can't see the panic on my face. And Perry's yelling
it's
in
like
my ears.
Hydraulics, huh?
Perry's yelling in my ears, so I can't, you know, I can't hear anything. But I'm sure they were just saying wonderful things. And then, and I looked this long stretch of road to get back to a road that goes nowhere. You know, I'm just in the middle of nowhere. And I'm at, like, train tracks, you know, things that look from the 1830s or something. Oh, thinking, wow. Like, you know, of all the things to happen, and it would only work if I would drive excess of the speed limit. I had to actually give it throttle it, you know, throttle it. If it went slow, it just didn't work as well. Nice. And so, which was a really good thing anyway. I didn't mind driving faster, getting over.
Yeah, right.
What a problem.
But it was like this little rinky-dink town. I mean, it had like 13 stop signs with one block. I mean, it was just like, you know, the barbershop. They had a little recording studio, like from, you know, the Mayberry recording studio there. It was just crazy, some things. But I just want to thank God that it made it. It just kept going and going, you know. And but I felt like when I got back, I had ridden a horse. It was like, my goodness. Now, I want to share with you. If you get a chance to ride a motorcycle, you know, get your license, get trained in how to do it. But we miss so much. Yeah, you pass 15 people texting with their phones. You know, yes, they don't see you, so you have to look twice as hard, which really teaches you defensive driving. But, you know, when motorcycle riders pass each other, you know, there's a certain wave. There's a wave that you do. If you see somebody wave,
is there?
Oh, there's a wave, man. There's
don't
a wave.
Teach us. Show up. Well, yeah. What's it like?
Well, we'll just show all of our listeners. See, that's all right there.
There it is.
But you don't. If you take your hand, you wave somebody like a saying when we wave. You know that's not cool, and they won't wave back.
Oh.
But you do is you drop your hand low, and you just kind of stick it out like that, and then they wave back to you. What's so cool is there's interaction between drivers. I mean, you have, you know, hundreds of cars passing and don't even know each other exist, nor you. And then you have these other people riding, like you're riding, it's like riding a horse. You know, you're out on the back of a horse and there's not a seatbelt on a motorcycle. And you're just seeing God's creation, the beautiful sky and the winds blowing across your faces and, you know, bugs are hitting, you know, it's just, we just miss so much. We're living so many of our days up under things and being separate from God's creation. And it gets a chance just to get out there to be able to do that. And, you get a chance to get out, you know, get out and just stop and look up. And so if anybody has a sports car with a convertible roof on it that you're looking to bless somebody with, it's me, because four wheels is better than two. When you get up around John's age, you probably
that's right.
you probably need four wheels. But, I wanted to share this morning, there was this one little young, this is not little, but young man. This young man went to this minister years ago, and he said, I want to know what it is to be successful in life. I want to know, he's just looking for, his purpose in life. And so he comes to talk to this minister, and the minister says, well, just follow me. And he walks them out, and they just start walking a long ways down the road, and they walk him down to this river. And of course the young man says, he's thinking, he's going to baptize me. That's what he's going to do. And so he goes down to the river, and he walks into the river with the minister because, he's thinking that that's what's going to happen. And so the minister takes him and almost like he's going to baptize him, and takes him and holds and puts him underwater. But then he holds him underwater. He holds him underwater till he begins to begin to struggle and begin to thrust back and forth, and he's holding him down, and then he begins to fight, and the young man's trying to come up, and the minister's not letting him up. He's not going to let him up. And finally, the young man just fights the minister and throws him off of him, and he comes out of the water, and he goes, he takes his deep breath. And the minister says, as the young man's looking at him shocked, he says, until you're that desperate for God, nothing's going to work out. And America's not desperate for the things and the ways of God. Until you're ready to do to the last breath, you're fighting for got to have God. Everything else has got to go. You got to have God. You're never going to be satisfied. There's no money. There's no stuff. There's no things. There's no drug. There's no sex. There's no power. There's nothing that will satisfy you. Because you were created to be satisfied by God. And so you're like that man, fighting and struggling and for that desperate breath of air till you're ready for God like that. And that's what concerns me about America, because that would just be just far-fetched to think that I would have to humble myself to be desperate for God. Send him to me.
Mm.
And I think about a young man that he was so in love with the world. He was so in love with the world, and yet he was in love with God, and he couldn't make up his mind which one he was going to serve. Was he going to go in the world? Is he going to serve God? And he had a gift, and the gift, he was really confused. He thought because he had a gift, everything is fine. And so, but he would end up walking with God for a while, then he would go back into the world, and he would, steal things, do things wrong, get involved in drugs, but then he would come to the end of himself, what seemingly was the end of himself, and then he would come back, and he would say, I was wrong, and I don't know what I did, and he would repent, and then he would begin to walk with God again. And then, after a while, when things are going good, there it happens again. Once things are going good, once God's giving you a place to live, once God's giving you some transportation, once God's giving you a job, once he's blessed you, he would go back. He would take credit every single time for what God gave him. And he'd end up back in the world again. And then it would just rip him apart until finally one day, he was in some other state. And God had let me know. He had let me know that this was going to happen. And just like clockwork, he came back knocking on my door at the end of himself. Mm. He'd been on some long drug run. He's at the point of suicide. He's left his family. He's in a second relationship, and the family that he had then, he just left them in the other state. He'd been doing everything to support his habit. This is a man who once walked with God, but he was so in love with the world. And he comes and he's ready to end his life. And I knew the Lord showed me, and this is a sign, America, the Lord showed me that this man would come back, and he would come back at the midnight hour. The Lord soon returned. Mm. And that what I'm telling you about right now, this man, he's a sign that our moments are limited. We were in the midnight hour. The Lord could come back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the midnight hour. And this is the state of America. This man is the state of America. This is what I believe he represents, the American church.
Right.
In love with the world, while proclaiming a love for God and defining themselves by their gifts. And so I looked at him, and I love him. I loved him. I said, you know, there's hope. You can turn to God. You can turn to God. God will receive you just like you are. But I've been so bad, and I've done this kind of things, and but God's good. It's wrong what you've done. It's sin. But God will forgive you of that. He will forgive you of that. He will forgive you of what all this wrong that you've done. And he'll heal you and he'll restore you. But you got to make a decision. Who's going to be the Lord of your life? You got to determine. You cannot play both sides. You have to choose who you're going to serve. If Baal is your God, serve Baal. But if God is God, serve him. Tears pouring down his face. He just couldn't believe that he could hear a God that would forgive him because he had done this so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see this healing take place and this burden lift off of him. And again, God forgave him and restored him and brought him back to a place to begin him on a journey of restoration and discipleship and I gave him some things to help him get started and get his family together. His wife had given her life to the Lord during that time. Mm-hmm. And so we went to baptize him. When I went to baptize him, I baptized him the first time. And he came back up again. The Lord laid on my heart that he's going to have to get this. So just like the minister I'm talking about, I took him and I held him down in the bottom of that baptismal pool. I held him down there and I wanted him to be desperate, desperate for God. I wanted him to be desperate where he would just cry out for God and that he had a fight to come back up to the air for air. But I had another minister that was with me, felt like he needed to rescue him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to hold him down to save him. And the other minister is trying to pull him up, what he perceives as to save him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get to hold him down as long as he needed to be held down because he needed to fight for his life. He had to be desperate for air. This man needed to be desperate for God, and you need to be desperate for him. And, of course, the minister didn't know. I mean, it's normal tendency. You want to save someone. I mean, he didn't know the history of this man. Well, he begins to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Begins to do things right. God starts blessing his family, gives him a home, gives him a very nice job. And then his wife gets saved. And then all of a sudden he starts taking credit for what God has done. All of a sudden he doesn't listen. Then he begins to fall in love with the world again. Then he begins to go after the drugs again. And next thing you know, this very man who couldn't make up his mind, American church, he could not make up his mind. Do I want the world or do I want God? Can I have them both? And we're told to be in love with the world, to be a friend of the world, is to be an enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to be an enemy of God.
That's right.
And he found himself at a grocery store. Robbing now. You know, he'd already left the church and he'd been gone for quite some time, mm-hmm. didn't know where he was anymore. Despite all the attempts to encourage
him,
to reach him.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, we're seeing the news, and the news says that a man goes to rob a clerk, a store owner, and she shoots him. And he shoots her, and they both die within feet of each other. Mm-hmm. Him in the parking lot, and her in a store that she came from Atlanta to come to the city that she went to so that she could have a peaceful life.
Mm.
Let me tell you something, church. Until you're desperate for God, this is not some religious experience. This is not what American gospel has turned a relationship to with God into, this is not only serious, this is dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
That eternity weighs in the balance. Today could be your day. You could be that store clerk. And some person who's more in love with the world than in love with God can show up. But despite them wearing a Jesus pin yesterday, they could be robbing you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And because of a watered down, and you're in competition with the false prophets and with the watered down preachers and the ones who are just, you know, telling people what they want to hear. And those people, when they're struggling, they're looking around and say, well, nobody else is saying that's wrong. And, you know, and this is what's happening here. And it's like, dude, you're killing people by just not by preaching a compromised message. And he should have been just like that young man that minister took out. He should have been held down. Listen, you're going to have to go through something. You're going to have to be desperate for God. If every little wind that blows past you is a decision, am I going to serve God or not? Listen, you have to understand a big wind's about to blow. You need to make up your mind. I think about the young girl at Columbine, you know, the Columbine High School, when they're going in Second Heaven, obviously took over these young men. And also took over these kids that were criticizing these young men earlier on. They were bullied kids, you know, and just playing havoc in our schools, which happens.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he's in the lunchroom or library, and he points his gun right at this young lady, and he says, I believe it is, do you know Jesus? Or do you love Jesus? Do you remember, John, specifically what the statement was?
Not specifically. I think it's, do you love him?
Yeah, but it's basically he's saying, you know, she had a chance to acknowledge him or not to acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm. Right, or renounce him, right?
Yeah, and she didn't renounce him, and she acknowledged him, and then he shot her and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like comparing this young teenage girl to this man who could not even walk in the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And America can't walk in the blessing. It's like, it's the worst thing that's happening to us to be blessed, because then we start taking credit for the blessing, and then we know how we take credit for it if we're robbing God of his honor or the tithe, because if we say it's his, then we are honoring him with the first fruits, which is 10% of it,
right,
and his offerings. He says, you're robbing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would only do that if we thought it was ours and not his.
Can't stand and be blessed.
Can't stand to be blessed. And just like this minister held this man at the bottom of the river, it very well may be where the church in America is going to have to be held under a river,
mm-hmm,
until we come up desperate for the things of God. You know, I pray, you know, that it doesn't come to that. But it's like, why isn't the church desperate? When you hear about God, somebody goes, oh, that's all you ever do. That's all you ever do is talk about God. He's like, if you have a problem with that, heaven's going to be really disappointing to you.
For real.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to talk about the one who actually is holding everything together. And it's like, dude, you just bared your fruit who you really are. If you don't want to hear about God, you don't love God. You don't know God, or you know God, but you have not made him the Lord of your life.
Right.
And it's not supposed to be a negative thing to hear about the ways of God. It's like, please tell me more. I want to know about him. I want to know his ways. And it's in tying his truths to our wrists and around our heads and on our doorpost and memorizing them and sharing them with our children, that our home and our family is blessed. And, you know, there's a spirit in the land. The spirit in the land is just very prevalent in saying, you know, despite what God says, we've done this junk so long, it's okay with God.
Right.
We've lived marriage like this for so long, it's okay for me to rule over my husband. You know, we live family so long for like this, it's totally okay for the kids to tell the parents how things are need to be run. Mm-hmm. We've ran this thing so long with family that it's okay for husbands to be seduced and to be into all these bondages and things that are going on. As if it's, you know, and it's not. It's called a deceived people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we can turn around. We can turn around. It's amazing how many men are not leading their relationships, mm-hmm, in their marriage. I'm not talking about bossing anybody around, but it's like, come on. You know, and if you're not leading, who's leading? And if she's not supposed to be leading the marriage, but she is leading, then it's not a grace for that, and it's not going to be blessed for that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about in regards to marriage and family. We're not talking about individuals. And, you know, I know a lot of things are being prophesied differently than that, but you have to prophesy outside the Word of God for that to be, you know, which would not be true. And it's not working. It's not working. Look at the state of the family. Look, you know, in China, they're being forced to kill their children, and America's making a choice to kill their children. Right. Big difference, you know. They're forcing the Chinese to have just one child.
It's huge.
And America is choosing. You know why? You know why? Because when children are born, they demand from you. You can no longer be selfish with children.
Yeah.
Because they are. I mean, they're brand new. I mean, here they are. Feed me. Change me. Now. Mm-hmm. Don't sleep now. Stay awake. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Huge reason why people don't want to have children. We've had someone tell us that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then so they go, well, the reason why I'm gonna kill my child, because I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to die to myself. Right. I'd rather kill my children than to raise my children, because it's all about me. And it's like, how long can a culture last? You know, and this was a powerful statement that was made by one of our founding fathers, and I can't nail it, and we will nail it probably in the future, and we do. We'll put on the Infant Torch the exact 1780-something date. He said, all democracies end. They end when those who are in the democracy find out they can vote themselves wealth from the nation's treasury. Greed. That they're willing to take down a country. Because they understood if you vote the right senators and congressmen in, the right president in, the right governors in, and if they want to get in, they want power so bad, they're willing to transfer the nation's treasuries, its wealth, into the hand of the people who voted. And it's over at that point. The only hope would be for people to no longer be greedy, to be willing to lay down their wants and desires for the next generation. You have to be willing to say, you know what? Our children are going to live in this nation. Mm-hmm. So we have to be willing to say, you know, we're going to have to go through a time of balancing our deficit and doing what we need to do so that but we're people that has been known, because we don't think about tomorrow, that we kill our children. Yeah. We make laws to do it. And now the stats have changed so much. People say, well, the abortions are down. No. They have a pill now that people take that it aborts the child, so they don't go in and actually have to abort. For example, 7,000 teenagers will take 7,000 teenagers will get pregnant this year, for example. And over half of them will abort that child. I'm talking about 15-year-old, something of that nature. And so they're issuing now the morning after pill to 14-year-old children in school.
Yeah.
And the thing is, at what point are we going to be willing to say, you know what? You know, I'll get a job and I'll raise my kids and I will have less so that I can feed my family, and I'll stay married, not because it makes me feel good, because it'd be the best thing for my family and my kids. And I'll begin to live my life for God and others and not for myself. And I will begin to do that. And understand this, that is such a true statement, saying that a democracy lasts up until the point that people realize that they can vote themselves wealth from the nation's treasury. And that's what you're seeing right now when you talk about, you know, the government taking care of everything. Well, that's actually taxes paid in from the people. And they're saying, I can actually take people's things by voting a certain way and getting a certain people in there. And you can't turn that back outside of God.
Right.
I mean, you can't come up with a good idea and say, hey, listen, we need to, you know, people's, you know, the natural tendency of flesh and the sinful nature is just more and more and more. And, right. But God's people, you know, that we are supposed to, you know, deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow the Lord and lay down our life for our brothers, and family will begin again when the church starts being family.
Right.
You know, and once I get this word verified again, you know, verified that I was talking about in the first hour, you know, I'm just, the church is supposed to be the example of family. How are people going to know? How, you know, if you don't talk English to your children or whatever language you speak, your children will never speak the any language because you're going to be the one that teaches them how to talk. And then you can't imprison your children because there's a law now because you don't speak our language because they don't speak it. They do this. But the whole thing is, not the language aspect of it, but because you didn't teach me how to be family, now I go to jail for not being family, but you never taught me how to be family. That, you know, at some point, somebody has to be an example and say, this is family.
Right.
You know, and we have a Father God, Elder Brother Jesus Christ, and we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, mothers and fathers in the Lord, and we don't learn how to be family by looking at each other's dysfunctional relationships. We go and look at what God is doing in the family of God and begin to say, you know what, that's a brother in the Lord, that's a father in the Lord, that's a mother in the Lord. And though we have biological blood families, you know, that we have to turn to God's family to understand how our blood family needs to be. And then our blood family may never be that way, but we ourselves can relate and connect to a part of God's family and be a part of a healthy family. Listen, we've got to turn our hearts back to the spiritual children and the spiritual children to the spiritual fathers. We've got to capture family again.
Yeah.
The fabric of our society is being destroyed, and it's been systematic. You know, we talked about the Communist Manifesto that was spoken of, and one of their strategies and plans has succeeded, which was to break down and destroy what a family looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are at this present point, and it's like, but you know what? The church has no excuse to blame anything on the world.
Right.
You know, God tells us what marriage is supposed to look like. He tells us what family is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us, you know, what finance and business is supposed to look like. And he says, when you do this, I'll take care of you. And it's like, you know, how long do we have to go? How much do we have to suffer? And are we really going to blow this thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, how desperate, you know, until you get desperate. I see, seen so many people that have forsaken their own walk with God by just what biological family. And it's like, dude, they're not even honoring God. They're not even living for God. You know what I'm saying? They're not even honoring God's word. And how are you being manipulated, controlled, and swung in all these different directions? You know, our allegiance is to Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yeah.
God's word is going to tell us how we need to live. And you know what? Even Jesus said, you know, who's my mother? Who's my father? Those that do the will of the Father.
And he left Mary and his brother outside when he was in the house.
Outside the door.
Yeah. And so, and he says, you know, if you love your biological family more than you love God, and he's not, you know, if you don't understand what love to God is not going, I love you, God. I love you, God. Love to God is not singing God a song. Mm-hmm. Love to God is obedience.
Yeah.
And you know this because if you're a parent and your child willingly obeys you, your heart just melts.
Mm-hmm.
And when they walk in disobedience to you, then your heart breaks. So you know you're made in the image and likeness of God. So the truth is, you know, quit telling God you love him and start showing him by walking in obedience, and you're going to find something different. But understand this, when he says, you know, if you love your mother or father or brother or sister more than me, and what he's saying is if you obey them over me, if your biological relative says right and God says left, mm-hmm. Now you're caught between a love tug. You know, which way are you going to go? This is your measurement. Are you going to love God? Or are you going to love your wife? Or are you going to love your husband? Are you going to love your daughter or your son or your mother or your father who said right when God said left?
Mm-hmm.
So it boils down to that.
Right.
You know, and there was a day, and there's a day now in the world, and the chance we may see it really good soon, the second you become a believer, you know, a follower of Jesus Christ, you're an outcast.
Mm.
which probably could be the best thing that could happen to the church.
Yeah.
Right. They're no longer confused anymore. Well, I guess since they threw me in the street, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, and then the church would start being, you know, the church. But our loyalty has to be to God. And understand this, if we love our family, then we would witness to them. We don't witness to them because, hey, we got to witness to people. Because you love them and you want them to follow God, because you know if they back you in a corner and they tell you, you know, either follow me, I don't care what God tells you to do, then you're going to have to not tell them, listen, you shouldn't have put me in that place because I got to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get to that point. We got to get to that point again. And the whole thing, if we train our children and our family in the way that we should go, then no matter the people's direction and decisions, that everybody understands. Everybody understands that everybody's making their own choices and people's choices are being honored, and we're moving on. But they also know that you're going to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that gives them an idea, some sort of grid in their life, that if, in fact, they come to a place of repentance, they know where to find you. You'll be at the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be walking in the grace of God and doing your best to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, even yesterday, that you're speaking of this reminds me that during our worship time, God showed me, I basically had a vision. It was during a particular song called My Soul Longs for You.
Oh, wow.
And what I saw was that, like, an army that was marching, but they were marching through this, like, muddy field, and there's, like, and what that meant to me was that the world was, you know, all the world's coming in, everything's coming in to attack you, but the only way that they could keep going was that they were crying out to God, my soul longs for you.
Awesome.
You know, in your soul's your mind, your will, and emotion. Just,
yeah.
Your whole being, everything inside of you is crying out for God.
Yeah.
That's the only way we're going to be able to keep going and moving right on, is that we're crying out for God. We become desperate for him, so desperate for him that nothing, yeah, that nothing stops us.
Yeah,
and it was just such a powerful moment, you know.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. And the thing is, it's not like this is how our survival plan. It's what you're designed for.
That's it. When you
cry out to God, it's like crying out. It's like a bride crying out for the bridegroom. You want the bride wants the bridegroom to come. You want to spend time together. It's not like something. It's like religious something. And it literally is getting miry and muddy, and it's like walking against a current in a river. I don't know if you've ever tried to walk against a current in a river. But, you know, that God can part these situations if we're marching and walking in that mindset. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. And you can. It's not. It's just God's people. You win. You know, you win. Read the end. You win. But are we going to be faithful in our season, our generation? And first of all, we win if you're in. And if you've been listening to an American gospel and America's at this point, that's a huge clue to check yourself to see if you're in the faith or if you're in religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because over and over again, we hear people, when they encounter God in the voice of God and start abiding with him, they say things like, you know, I thought I was saved, but I don't know what, I know this is God. I don't, mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out what that was prior to where they are, and knowing that, and you just know, it's not a mystery. You don't have to ask somebody if you are saved. You know it. You just, mm-hmm. you know it. Your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you're a son or a daughter of God. And you just know that. And because he's real.
That's right.
He is real. We'll be right back. Yeah, you know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive. you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the end of the Extra Hour is Pat, John, and Chris. We want to cover the wisdom moment. Wisdom moment for today is Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. Before we close out the hour, Proverbs 24, 3 through 4 reads, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." So many people are trying to build a home. all kinds of building materials used, all kinds of money is spent on them. But you know what? If you want to build a home, if you want to build a house, if you want to build, it's built with the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. It's not just knowing something, but it's applying it. By wisdom, a house is built. And through understanding, listen, don't depend on everybody to know what you're supposed to know. We got to begin to think again. The church has to learn again. We have to learn how to think again, mm-hmm. and understand and use our mind and use the word of God and begin to seek the voice of the Lord to get understanding above everything else. Get understanding, because a house is established by understanding. It's built by wisdom, and through knowledge, there's substance that begins to happen in your home. And think about that. If you want, this is, describes your life. Know ye not that you're the temple, that you're the building of God? You know, if you want your house, you want your life to be stable, it's going to happen through wisdom. It's going to be mm-hmm. built through wisdom and through understanding. You know, you're going to be established, and through knowledge, your heart and your life and your substance is going to be filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, the words of wisdom today is Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Well, God bless. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. Don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. You can hear us on your app. You can hear us at VFNTV.com. On your Androids, your Apples, your iPads, and all those wonderful devices out there. There is hope. There is hope. Share with your friends. Like us on Facebook. Let's do it together. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow.